Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Open your Bible today, and you're going to need your Bible, Psalm 91. We're beginning a brand new series on God's covenant of protection. God's covenant of protection. If you look the word covenant up, it means promise. So we're looking at God's promise of protection for you and for me and for ours. So we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at this. I think it's apropos because we're living in a very dangerous world. And it's getting worse by the moment. The Bible tells us that's going to happen. And as your pastor who loves you today, I want to equip you so you can live the abundant life in dangerous times. You know, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to move forward. God wants you to live an abundant life, even in a pandemic. I got three amens. That's kind of weak, everybody. Yeah, God is not crippled through a virus or a plague or a pandemic. God is still God. And God don't ever change. And God wants to do great things in your life. But if we're afraid to leave our house, if we're afraid to go out, if we're afraid to send our children to school, if we're afraid to take a risk and step out and go to a new level, start a business, a new enterprise, if we're afraid to build a relationship, if we're living in fear, we can't have God's best. So I want to talk to you about God's promise of protection. God's promise of protection. The best place to go in the Bible is Psalm 91. Now, if you're new to our church, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do expository teaching. That's where you go verse by verse. We're a Bible church, verse by verse, and you pull out principles to apply in your life. So, you know, with all of us here and all of you online, you know, there might be three or four verses that really impact you, but a different three or four verses that impact somebody else. But I promise you, by the time we leave, your faith is going to be stronger, and you're going to be closer to God than when you came. Amen? And that problems are going to be solved, and questions are going to be answered. For example, have you ever heard this? Why did God let that happen? Ever heard that? If God's so good, why did God let that person die, or this person be in a car wreck, or that person, got this sickness, or this person died early, or that plane went down? Why did God let that happen? Well, really, that's not the question. That's not what we should be saying. Why did God let it happen? We should be saying, why wasn't I listening? It's quiet in the house. Why wasn't I listening? You and I both know we've heard people down through the years say this. You know, I just had a feeling I shouldn't have got on that plane. I just had a feeling that I shouldn't have went that way to work. I just had a feeling that I shouldn't went through that intersection. I had a premonition that I shouldn't have gone with them. And when we override that and an accident happens, then everybody, mostly a lot of times unbelievers, blame God for letting it happen. But you see, God had to let it happen because we have a free will, free choice. So it's not why did God let it happen? It's why weren't we listening to the voice of God? And when he gives us that impression on the inside, don't go there. Don't get on that plane, train, bus, or car. Don't go out there tonight. Don't hang out with those people. We mustn't override that. That's the Holy Spirit protecting us. Are you all with me, family? So we're going to go verse by verse, and you see, how can you do that in 30 minutes? Supernatural. Power of God is the only way. And then I'm going to give you four takeaways on how to access the protection of God. So you with me, everybody? Psalm 91 on the screen, guys, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's break that down. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Everyone say secret place. The secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I went to my Young's literal Bible. It's a Young's literal Bible. You can get it on the internet. And it's the most closest translation to the original meaning of the words. So it actually says this: he or she that is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Notice, not just dwelleth, it's not a one-time visit, but it's somebody who makes it a lifestyle. It's not once a weekend, it's every day. It's not a replay on Thursday when I got time. It's every day. He that is dwelling, not just when I need God, when I think I need God, because if you're like me, I need God 7/24. So it's not just he that dwelleth, it's he that's dwelling, present, continuous, tense. In the secret place of the Most High, notice there's a name for God, Most High, shall abide under the shadow of, or the covering, the canopy, the force field of the Almighty. Look, there's another name for God. I want to extract to you in this verse, there are two different names for God. One of the ways that you access the protection of God is knowing the names of God. Knowing the names of God and declaring them will bring you closer to God. How do I get close to a God I can't see? Knowing his names, you get to know him. So when you look at his names, it reveals his character, his nature, his personality, and then you get to know him. We have to access the protection of God. Watch this. We have to give God a legal right to protect us. We have to give God a legal right to protect us. He can't just invade our life and do what he wants to do. We have to give him a legal right to protect us. He that dwells or is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, one name for God, shall abide under the shadow, canopy, covering, hedge of protection, wall of protection of the Almighty. In the Young's translation, it ends with this: habitually. Habitually. I like that. So I need to make it a habit every day of prayer, praise, giving, sharing, serving. It must become a habit if I want to be dwelling in the secret place of God. Are you with me, family? I've got to make it a habit. It's not once in a while. It's a lifestyle. When I make it a habit of dwelling in his presence, then I connect to that secret place, that covering, that canopy, that wall, that hedge of protection. Oh, I like it. I like it. But the key to get to that secret place, would you like to know the key to get to that secret place? What is the key? That I want to be in the secret place because that's the place of protection. But how do I get there? I've got to give God a legal right to let me in there. How do I get there? Under the shadow of the Almighty, under the canopy, under the covering, a hedge of protection, a wall of protection. How do I get there? You ready? Number one, obedience. I get there through obedience. Disobedience takes me out from under God's protection. Obedience to his word brings me in to that place of protection. Everybody say obedience. The Bible says that to obey is better than sacrifice. That place, that life of obedience, obeying what the word says and living there, dwelling there every day and making it a habit to live that way, it places you and yours, me and mine, in the secret place of protection. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, he's my fortress, he's my God, in him will I trust. Notice, I will say, you and I have our part, and God has his part. You and I have our part that we have to do for God to be able to do his part. If we don't do our part, then he can't do his part. If we don't do our part, we don't give him legal access to bring protection into our life. What is our part? Confessing who he is. I will say of the Lord, notice another name for God. We had Most High, we had Almighty, which is El Shaddai, and now we have the Lord. Notice that knowing the names of God and saying them, confessing them, declaring them, brings us into the secret place, brings us into that place of protection that we don't have to live a worried, fearful life. Well, we need a praise break right now. Can we have one? Come on, give God the praise. So I will say, we have to say something. What are we supposed to say? Declare who He is. Declare who the Word says that He is. He's the Most High. He's El Shaddai, the Almighty. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He's my God. Amen? He's my God. I'm going to go to my God for my protection. I'm going to go to the secret place of the Most High by dwelling fellowship and making it a habit daily. That's called obedience, that whatever He tells you to do, you do it. Whatever the Word says, that settles it. Amen? So say obedience. Then number two, how do you give Him legal access into bringing protection into our life? How do you get into the secret place of the Most High? Through your confession. Through your confession, through your vocabulary, through your words. Our confession, you know, I like what Kenneth Hagin said. He said, you'll never rise above the level of your confession. You'll never rise above the level of your confession. That our confession puts a lid on what God can do in our life. In other words, if I'm just talking all the time, defeat, depression, discouragement, cynical, sarcastic, negative, that puts a lid on my life. My life will never rise above that. If I'm talking sickness and weakness and depression and frailty and lack and poverty, then my life will never rise above that. Your life will never rise above your words. Where do you get that, Pastor? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. We're hung by our tongue, Proverbs 6 and verse 2. So our part is to say it. God's part is to do it. Our part is to say it. God's part is to do it. So I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him will I trust. So the first component of how we give God legal access into our life to bring protection is through what? Obedience. You know, you and I, we can't live a life of disobedience and expect God's protection over our life. You know, I wish I had time, you know, when I have time in this series, I like to talk about ministering angels. Y'all know you got a guardian angel when you were born, right? That guardian angel stays with you all through your life. But the Bible says that when we disobey God, our angels aren't working for us. Did you know that? That when we disobey God, we tie the wings of our angels. That they're unable to perform the will of God when we're in disobedience to God's word. So through obedience, and then number two, through our confession, through what we're saying. Notice, you got to say it, enable for God to do it. Because through saying it, you give God permission. I don't understand that, Pastor. I'm new to Church on the Rock, and I think you sound kind of like a heretic today. I don't get it. Well, when you got born again, didn't you have to say it before He could do it? Yes, you did. You had to believe in your heart, say it with your mouth. Then you were saved. But you weren't saved until you said it. We have to say it before God can do it. He says, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress. In God will I what? Trust. Third component, faith. Faith. Another word for trust is faith. So we have obedience, number one, a life of obedience. Well, Pastor, I missed the mark and I disobey God. We all do. The key is to have a heart after God. And when you do that, repent, and God instantly forgives us and restores us back into fellowship. Amen? So it's obedience, number two, through confession, and number three, through faith. Those are elements that give us access into God's protection over our life. Verse 3, surely he will what? Deliver thee. But notice, you say it and he does it. You say he's your refuge. You say that he's your safety. He's your protection. And what does he do? He delivers you. But he doesn't deliver you until you say it. You got to say it. The God that you see is the God that he will be. The God that you see is the God that he will be. The God that you declare. We are to declare that he's our Savior. Am I right? If you're saved and you're a Christian, you are to declare that God is your Savior. Well, same way, we're to declare that God is our protector. God is my protection. God is my provider. God is my healer. Come on, somebody. What you declare, he becomes. You understand that? What you declare, he becomes. When you declared he's your Savior, he saved you. When you declare that he's your healer, he'll heal you. When you declare that he's your protector, he can protect you. It gives him a legal right to get involved in your life and protect you. Pastor, I don't think we got to give God a legal right. God's God, and he can do whatever he wants to do. If God could do whatever he wants to do, he'd make you tithe every week at Church on the Rock. I threw out there, it's a preacher thing. Amen. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Couldn't that be the pandemic? Sure can. Sure can. And by the way, everybody that's online locally, I love you. I love you. It's time for you to get back in the building. You've got some bad habits, we all have. It's time for you to get back in the building. Because in the coming days, at home, online, isn't going to get you through. Got to have that fellowship. Got to have that touch. So notice, surely he will deliver you. So say it with me. I will say, then he can deliver. I will say, then he'll surely deliver. From the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence, verse 4. He will cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shall thou trust. His truth, that's the word, shall be your shield and your buckler. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night or for the arrow that flieth by day. Notice, we are not to live in fear. Fear keeps you from the protection of God. Whatever we fear, we attract. Fear is like a magnet. The thing that you fear will come to pass. It's a biblical principle. So we choose either trust or fear. Am I right, family? Trust or fear. Trust him for protection or fear everything every day in our life. It's our choice. And his will is that you do not be afraid of the terror and the danger by night or the arrow that flieth by day. Verse 6. Nor for the pandemic that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. God's got you covered 7/24, at midnight or noonday. Verse 7, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Well, Pastor, you know, I know this, I've read it, I've heard it, but if it doesn't excite you, you really don't know it. You know you got revelation from the Bible if when you hear it, you're excited about it. No matter how many times you've heard it, if I'm not excited about it, it's not a revelation. But if I'm excited about it, it is a revelation. Well, Pastor, I've read this before. And what about Uncle Fred? Pastor, Uncle Fred went to church, and Uncle Fred got sick, and we were praying, and he died. I am sorry for Uncle Fred, and my heart goes out to the family. But you don't know what Uncle Fred was saying and believing and doing behind closed doors. It's not my business, nor it is your business. But I'm not going to build my faith on what happened to Uncle Fred. Pastor, what about Aunt Susie? You know, we believe God and she this, that, and she died. I'm sorry. I don't want anybody to die. But I am not going to build my experience or my faith on somebody else's experience of what did or didn't happen to them. Come on, somebody. Build it on the rock. Verse 8. Only with your eyes will you see, thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, another name for God, another name for God. Y'all see the thread through this? Knowing the names of God and saying them and declaring them, then God becomes that to you. It builds your faith and it brings you closer to God. It builds your faith, brings you closer to God. It puts you in the secret place of the Most High God, God's place of protection for you and yours. Because you've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, another name for God, your habitation, or you've made it a habit. You've made it a habit to spend time with God every day. You've made it a habit to dwell, and not just dwell, but be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. Next verse, verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, pandemic, come nigh your dwelling. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. Oh, I love that. I love that. But again, if I'm speaking contrary to the word, if I'm living contrary to the word, then they can't guard me. They can't defend me. They can't have charge over me. It's only when I'm in the will of God, when my words line up with the word, when my actions line up with the word, when I'm obeying the Lord and walking by faith and not by sight, then they can guard us, protect us, and defend us. All right, next verse, verse 12. They shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. You know, how many times in your life, in my life, have something about to happen, and it's like somebody picked us up and put us on the other side of the road, or somebody picked them up and put that car or that truck or that semi over in the other lane. We think, how in the world did we get? That was an angel lifting you up. That was an angel that was picking you up. I love it. Thou shalt bear thee up with her hands. Thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone, lest she would do that. Verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion. Pastor, come on, what is this? This isn't relevant. Yeah, it is. It's a metaphor. It's talking about you having authority over the devil, authority over evil spirits and demonic spirits, authority in spiritual battle. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon, shall you trample under your feet. Talking about evil spirits. Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I what? We do our part, God does his part. Our part is obedience, confession, and faith. Can you say it with me? Obedience, confession, and faith. And then once we do our part, I will say of the Lord, God, you're the Most High God. God, I go to you for protection. God, you are my high tower. You are my security. You are my protection. You are my defender. You are El Shaddai. You are Elion. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are Jehovah Nisi. You are Jehovah Roi. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And when you do that, what are you doing? Getting the secret place of the Most High God. Building your faith, getting close to God, and under his covering. Oh, you just did it, but give God a big praise, would you? Come on, let's thank God. Watch this now. I will deliver them. I will set them on high. Why would you do that, God? Because they have known. Look at the thread throughout the whole chapter. They've known my name. Look at the different names of God in this one chapter. This chapter is the greatest chapter in the whole Bible for protection. You need to declare it over your children before they go to school, before you go to work, before you get on a plane, a train, a bus, a car, a bike, or an Uber. You need to claim the scripture, Psalm 91. Because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. Why would you do that, God? Because they know my name. They know my nature. They know who I am, and they declare it. And if they declare it, if they say it, I've got to do it. Verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Our part is to call upon him. His part is to answer your prayer. I will be with him in trouble. Aren't you glad he doesn't bail on you when we all get in trouble? Don't you love those people who say, I'm with you. I'm with you thick and thin. I'm behind you. And you turn around, and they're so far behind you, you can't see them. Not God. I'll be with you in all your trouble. I will, what will you do, God? My job is to call on him. My job is to say of him. My job is to trust in him. Our job is not to fear. Our job is to take our authority. And he said, I will deliver you. And then he said, I'll favor you and I'll honor you. Verse 16, as Isaiah comes out, with long life will I satisfy you. Say it with me. I'm going to live long and strong. With long life, I will satisfy him, and I'll show him my salvation. I love it. Don't y'all like that? Now, I'm going to give you some takeaways here. My part, God's part. Not why didn't God, but why didn't I listen? Now, this is not for condemnation. This is for clearly we realize then have a proper picture of God. That God is for us. God is never at fault. Whoa, I just heard somebody's false teeth fall on the floor right there. God is never at fault, my brother and sister. He's never at fault. How do you know that? He's perfect. How can he be at fault? God is always perfect. Takeaways. Number one, determined to stay close to God. Determined. Remember, he that is dwelling, not a replay service or once a month or when I have time, but those who are dwelling in God's presence, God protects them. So determine every day to stay close to God. Pastor, I want to know, how do you get close to God? Put him first. Pastor, how do you put him first? What do you do? Like this. You give him the first part of your day. You give him the first part of your income. That's a tithe. You give him the first day of the week. You know, through COVID, you'll know what I'm talking about. Not harping on anybody. Well, I'll get a replay on Thursday. I got stuff to do on Sunday. What you don't understand is Sunday's the first day of the week. And if God will bless that, then he'll bless the rest of your week. But if I'm too busy for God on Sunday, and I say, God, I'll see you on Thursday, then I'm missing half of the week that God can bless because the law of first. The Bible says we're to come on the first day of the week. It does say that, into the Lord's house. Now, I'm not getting on anybody's case. I just want everybody blessed. Yeah? So the first part of the day, first part of my income, I give in the first day of the week, and then the first thing I do is ask myself, what does the Word say? That's how I get close to God. Number two, develop a strong confidence in God's promises. But what's that? We don't go by other people's experiences. We go on what does the Word say? Develop a strong confidence in God's promises. If God said it, that settles it. We're going to stand on it till we see it come to pass. Number three, daily confession of God's word, God's promises. Y'all remember there at the beginning of the chapter, he says, I will say of the Lord, whatever you say God is, that's what he becomes. If you say he's a good God, God's going to manifest his goodness in your life. If you say God's a good God, God's going to manifest his love and goodness in your life. If you say he's a healing God, he releases his healing power in your life. If you say he's your protection, then he releases a canopy, a covering, a wall, a hedge around you and yours. Number four, decide to obey God no matter what. You know, this is a nation, right, that's supposed to be one nation under God, not gods. One nation under God. Thankfully, on our coin, it still says, in God we trust. Decide to obey God. The Bible says when it comes between man and God, if man's laws transgress God's laws, we're to obey God. Am I right? That's kind of weak, everybody. But between man's laws and God's laws, when man's laws contradict God's laws, we obey God's laws. We obey man's laws totally up until the point if they contradict God's word, we go with God's word. You obey God no matter what. Next, Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The consistently righteous person Those who are upright and have right standing with God, obedience, they run into it and they're safe. You are high above all evil that's in the world. All evil that's in the world. And there's a lot of evil men in the world right now. But when you know the name of the Lord and you declare the name of the Lord, what happens? You get into the secret place of the Most High, that high tower, high above all evil, and you are safe. And look at the last word, and you are strong. Say it with me, I am safe and I am strong in the arms of an everlasting God. I'm done. If you got something, give the Lord a praise, would you? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, let's really thank Him for His word today. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for your protection. Thank Him. Call Him your protector today. No fear. Faith in God. Make our confession. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Keep praising Him with your mouth. Glory to God. Declare who He is. Declare who He is today. God, you are our protector. God, you are our provider. God, you are our safety. God, you are our security. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving, if you would. Just for a moment, I want to throw out the net here and online. You say, Pastor, you know, I thought about giving my life to God, but, you know, my friends, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my job, my career, this, that, and the other. You know what? Jesus died for your sins and my sins. Heads bowed, eyes closed, Christians praying. Jesus Christ died. He's the author of your life. Did you know that? And also, He's the answer to your life today. He's the answer to all your struggles and all your pain and all your past habits, hurts, injustice, unkindness, persecution, all the things, loneliness. He's the answer today. And I just want to ask you today, here and online, whatever's been holding you back from surrendering your life to God, whatever it is, fear, public opinion, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, a mom, a dad, whatever it might be, why don't you give that up today? Why don't you let go of that today? Why don't you give God room in your life today? Open up your heart and let Him come in. He's for you. He loves you. His Son died for you. So online, you say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. I'm not confident of the hereafter. Or you might say, Pastor, I am a Christian. I love the Lord. And I realize my priorities have got whacked out during COVID. I want to reset my life today. Pray for me. Punch the button on your smartphone, on your computer. Faith is an act. You can't walk forward here, but you can do that there. Here in the room, nobody's going to come to you, but I just want to know, we need to be bold. It's an hour to be bold and stand up for God and not be ashamed to be a Christian or be born again or be saved. Realize that He's our only answer. He's the only one that ever died for us and took our sin and all of our mistakes and all of our bad decisions. He's taken it for us. All we need to do is accept Him and surrender to Him. You say, Pastor, for the first time, or rededication, pray for me. God's dealing with my heart today, Pastor. Pray for me. Raise your hand right where you're seated. Will you just put it up high, every section? Nobody's going to come to you. I just want to know who you are. Take a stand for the Lord today. Say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you so much. Just put it up for a second. Put it right back down. Heaven rejoices when you do that, by the way. You can put your hands down. Church, let's help them. Let's all pray. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent of my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. He died for me and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, I am yours. Amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.